podcast creators of The Pursuit of Plastic, Gourmet Scum Radio, and Those Geeks You Know, in association with DontForgetATowel.com, comes Tablet Talk, the podcasting network for all things geekly, from comics to movies to television and more. Tablet Talk is the podcast for your intergalactic geek. Don't forget to travel safe and travel with a towel.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Paulie Presenza, known as the Moo Cow. Moo!
And we have a special guest here with us today. Please introduce yourself, sir.
My name is John Johnson. I am no longer on the run from the police.
Well, that's good.
Outstanding.
And now we're here at the D House doing our show, so we're really excited about this. And we get to announce what movie we're doing.
That's
which,
right.
We've been kind of keeping that a secret. It is Snow Shark.
Woohoo!
And I'm not going to say much about it until after we do the show because I don't want to tell Johnny too much. He has never seen this movie and neither has Paul.
I've never seen this film either.
There better be snow and there better be a shark.
I'm pretty sure there's both.
There is both. That's all I can say. You know. So aside from that, so before we begin, let's do some
mood music.
And we're back. Hello, everybody. We just watched Snow Shark.
Snow Shark.
And yes, there was a shark, and he was in the snow.
About an inch and a half of it.
Everything I wanted came true.
And more.
And maybe. More.
So this film was my pick because I had seen it years ago. So like I said, Paul hadn't seen it, and Johnny hadn't even, I don't think you'd even heard of it, had you?
No, this was an epiphany.
Yes. When I said Snow Shark, he was like, yes, we got to watch that movie.
Yes.
There you go.
Basically, and Johnny's not real, like, he knows about Indie Film Cafe, but he didn't really know how, you know, the lowest of the low kind of stuff we do usually go.
No, I'm very new to the thing, and you popped my cherry on this one.
All right. Well, this is, you know, this is a lot nicer than, or a lot meaner than we were at when we showed this stuff for Joe. Our buddy Joe, we got showed him Gamebox 1.0, and that was a good one.
Okay.
You know, that was, and I was surprising for that. But this is a little bit more on the stinkier side.
On the stinkier side,
yes.
Definitely.
So, basically, this is a movie that was made in 2011. It was directed and written by Sam Qualiana, who plays a character in the film. What was his name?
He plays one of the Quinn characters, right?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
Mike.
He was the hunter that lost all his friends and apparently killed one of the snow sharks in the past.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was kind of very rednecky.
Yeah, they kept calling people a hicks in this movie, I think.
Yes.
And everything. All the rednecky guys or whatever, the hunters, you know, and
very
stuff like that.
Pennsylvanian.
Yeah, and they all, I mean, you know, they did their job, you
sure.
know, because when you do a movie like Snow Shark, I'm pretty sure everybody's expecting...
As you do.
You know, a movie like this.
Oh,
like,
sure.
A movie that's going to be... bottom of the barrel kind of things, you know, because I know there years after Snow Shark was the first one, right? Then they did Avalanche Sharks.
Of course.
Not that the same company, but another company. Wasn't there a Sharkalanche too? Yeah, there's just tons of these movies, you know, that, you know, and technically Land Shark started the whole shark in, you know.
Was that the... What was the one, what would you guys say, was Deep Blue Sea? What was it that, like, started the beginning of all the shark? It had to be a bigger movie that got it going, right? Like,
well, I mean, obviously, Jaws was the first real movie.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
but
like,
I think,
where the bad shark movies are, it's a staple
now. I think it's really a growth out of the big Shark Week thing. It was always like a Shark Week, remember? That happened like maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Everyone got excited because... it was Shark Week on Animal Planet or whatever it was, and everybody got you know, big into sharks again all of a sudden.
And then sci-fi started putting out shark movies every, like, two days.
FX got cheaper to do, so, yeah.
CGI sharks are all over the place. You know?
And this is a case where you could have both the CGI sharks and you can have a fin on a board that's getting dragged through the snow with a piece of rope.
Pushed.
It was cutting the snow. It hadn't gone through it yet, so it had to have been pushed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that was, and we'll get into that.
Unless it was turned around and done backwards.
Now there you go. That's a strong possibility.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is we're going to talk about that because we're going to talk about the effects at some point, you know, in this conversation. But let's kind of, I guess, go into the story a little
bit. Sure.
The story. Our fun little thing. So basically, it starts off with these scientists who are trying to, like, figure out the... Science.
They're figuring out science.
Right. And they're using a lot of jargon, a lot of, you know, stuff to try to, I guess, make it sound like they know what they're talking about.
Except for the woman. Her job is to tend the fire.
Pretty much.
No, it's the guy who did the fire. They leave her, though.
They leave her there.
They do leave her.
Yeah.
But it was like, the guy made a fire in, like, 2 seconds.
And then the professor and the guy, professor got really, like, frustrated with him calling him Doc, apparently. Didn't like that name.
It was, he got really, like, they're talking, and then, I don't know if it was because he called him Doc, or he just, it did not matter for that guy's opinion, but he just says, like, look over there, and he's like, what? It's like, why all of a sudden do you hate this guy? Like, what happened? Because, like, you guys were just conversing, like, 2 seconds before it, and everything was fine, but...
But now, all of a sudden, you know, and they see, like, a dead carcass, but you can't really tell what the carcass is. Like, you can tell it's human, but you can't tell who it is or what's going on, and they're kind of worried, but then all of a sudden they know all this information about the shark.
Oh, and yeah, he immediately goes off on this crazy tangent about it being, you know, from the Cretaceous period, and it's definitely prehistoric.
It had a lot of tremors in it.
Yeah, or sand shark, or, you know, some of the other ones that are out there.
Right, well, Tremors, definitely. This film had a lot of inspiration, you can tell, by different, creature feature kind of movies, you know. But anyway, so yeah, he didn't know anything about the Cretaceous period. And, like, I don't know how he knew all this information, but he did, apparently. So I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
He was just spouting out stuff. So it was making him sound like a scientist.
Well, also to kind of, you know, to give the exposition of what this ancient snow beast.
And why they were there in the first place.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake.
There was an earthquake.
That's what it was. You're right.
Yeah. And the guy was like, maybe it disturbs some chemical pipeline and that's what's killing all the animals. It's like, stop saying the animals are dying. They've just disappeared. That was the thing he was pissed at.
Oh, okay. All right. Now we got a character build.
Yeah. He didn't like that. That they all of a sudden assumed that they were dead when they had just disappeared. And
that's
like,
all.
How do you know when something's just disappeared? You know, like, just because you don't see them anymore, that doesn't necessarily mean they disappeared. You know.
How sciencey of you.
Anyway, so we go into the actual, you know, the rest of the movie, because that goes into the credits, then it goes into the actual movie where you kind of see the small town is kind of overtaken by this snow shark.
Yes, they're having a problem.
And bric-a-brac.
But
there's a lot of bric-a-brac.
And a lot of snow sharks.
Well, what I don't understand is, okay, so the beginning takes place in 1999, and they've unleashed a snow beast.
Right.
And then are people dying throughout, like, the years?
It's weird because the end of the film, spoilers, they say that there are multiple sharks. But they actually say that earlier in the film because the director had killed one.
Right.
So they should have already known
there
were more than one shark because he brought one down.
Right.
So, science...
Well, the guy kept trying to figure out. He's like, well, I thought I killed him and we burned the body. Well, how did it come back? I don't know. Those kids were messing around in the woods. They must have brought it back somehow. What do you mean they brought it back somehow? How did they do that? Black magic?
There's no, like, but that's probably one of the biggest problems with the movie I mean, not saying that that was, you know, like, whatever. Like, you can suspend your disbelief You have to.
You got to turn your brain on duh for this one. I mean, that's just, you know.
But that's the biggest thing is, like, you have to somehow bring back the snow shark. But, like, where did it go? Like, why did it...
Well, what... Okay, so it also gets a little confusing over what the actual snow shark is. So they say it's, like, this ancient beast, but there's another part where they're talking about it, like, knowing them and, like, haunting their dreams.
Right.
Like,
feeding off its fear.
Yeah, so, like, is it, like it? Or is it an actual, like... snow shark, and they're just crazy.
Right. This is a supernatural snow shark?
Yeah.
Like, now, that would have been a great title.
Are these magic
snow sharks?
Supernatural snow shark.
But yeah, no, I don't know.
Supernatural shark assassins.
Yeah.
Shark assassins.
I know. Well, it's already swimming through an inch and a half of snow. There's just no snow there. It's just ridiculous. I mean, if they were you know, if they were someplace where it was like a foot thick, okay, I might buy that. But there's hardly any snow on the ground. And what happens to this thing when it's summer and spring and fall and those months in the winter where it's not snowing?
Is it land shark? Is it
mud shark?
Is it...
maybe it migrates.
Twig on the
ground.
Maybe
it migrates to Alaska.
Well, this was shot in New York, right?
Right.
So maybe it just goes to Canada.
Yeah. It just goes to Canada during those times.
See, there you go. You could have had some backstory about these Canadians who are dealing with this snow shark, and they're calling them up and saying, oh, we got a snow shark problem down here in New York. Wow, we have those for years up here because... yeah, everyone knows there's nothing here but snow and Eskimos.
We're giving them ideas for the sequel,
there
just
you
so
go.
You know.
Yeah, we're part of Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
There you
oh,
go.
I want to see that. Anyway, yeah, so this movie is just... okay, so there's a lot of, like, characters in this movie, a lot of actors, a lot of random people.
I don't know any of the people involved in this other than our mutual friend.
Yeah, we worked with an actress that was in it, Jackie Hall.
Cul-de-sac.
And we worked with I worked with Sam Qualiana, who actually, you know, directed and acted in the film, and I thought that, you know, this is just a fun, goofy movie in a way, you know.
Right.
But yeah,
like,
it definitely didn't feel like they were trying to, like, make an art.
No.
Right.
So
like,
I think they what they intended to do, they did.
Yeah, this is not Citizen Shark.
Citizen Shark.
Oh.
Now that would
there's
be...
there's a movie.
That's
Rosebud.
A title right there. Hey, where the sled actually means something.
That's
you know?
Right.
Because it's out in the snow getting, attacked.
Oh, right. There would be a sled because it would be in the snow.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
But
just
anyway.
Drunk all the time. And
well, so, okay, so there's, to go back, so the mayor of the town.
Yeah, we knew because he had the cup.
Yeah, he had
everywhere he had that cup.
He brought it every, I mean, I think from what I've heard in the commentary, he bought that cup.
Johnny pointed out that he's always moving the cup so that you can see the writing.
The writing, from shot to shot, the cup is moved to where the camera can read the writing.
So,
I don't know if that was the director or the...
So proud of that mug.
I think they're all proud of that mug.
Right, and the cane.
You know, yeah, the cane. I mean, yeah, he did. Bob Bozek, who plays the mayor, he did a great job just playing that role, you know, like, you know, to the most degree he could. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
It was just a fun. You know,
Bozek!
Yeah, he did a good job. As the mayor of. I don't even know. Did we ever. Did they ever say the town's name?
I'm sure they did.
Amityville?
I don't recall it.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, there's clearly funny, interesting parallels between Jaws and this. I mean, you can look at the mayor there and kind of compare him to the mayor in Jaws. Certainly, Quinn's character's been kind of cut in half. There's two of them floating around. There's the cop, you know.
So here's a question. So the bad shark movies is its own subgenre of horror now. There's so many of them. What is your favorite one?
Ooh, the bad ones?
Of the bad ones. The ones that obviously were not done to be great.
Sharktopus was funny.
Sharktopus?
It's pretty ridiculous.
I would have to say, honestly, Ghost Shark.
Ghost Shark.
Because they have a scene where the shark can go anywhere because he's a ghost.
Okay.
You know? So he has a scene where the person's in a tub and the shark attacks in the tub. You know? Like, that's just funny. Fun.
So for me, it was House Shark, but I don't know if it counts because it's a comedy. And these aren't exactly comedies.
No, yeah.
They might have funny bits in them, but they're not being taken seriously.
They're designed to be...
I'm pretty sure they knew Sharktopus was going to be...
Yeah.
Silly.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Hot Tub Shark has already been done then.
Was it? I think maybe it was. I think there was a hot tub scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you have Ghost Shark, you're gonna have a Hot Tub Shark.
There you go.
Yeah. So, it's been done, but...
Waterbed Shark.
Oh.
You have so much fun with this.
I know. But see, that's the thing. So you take a movie like Snow Shark, where it's set in one specific little thing.
Right.
You know, or whatever. And it's really hard.
Batch of Woods.
Yeah, Little Batch of Woods. It's really hard to, like, make a whole movie surrounded just by that one little thing.
Right. Yeah,
it seems like
a short film. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it was, at one point, a short film.
Oh, okay.
And then... they were just like, let's make this into a feature, which is a great idea, generally.
Because honestly,
if you want to make money,
to avoid the snow shark, you just don't go into that little patch of woods.
Especially
when it's not snowing. I mean,
no one, like, reported this to the FBI or any law outside of this one share.
There's 50 people getting eaten here that could easily have avoided that situation.
Well, it goes back to what the mayor was doing in the town, right? The mayor is trying to, like, kind of keep everything quiet or whatever, right? Like,
you lose 50 people.
It's always a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Animal that's not going to be quiet. But,
right. But
in this universe, they were able to keep it quiet.
Right.
So
So
that's how you have to think about it. It doesn't quite fit our reality. It's not our reality.
In this universe, the cops were wearing, you know, t-shirts.
Oh yeah, that one cop that didn't get any patches, and like they all had like the uniforms except for this one guy.
I know he showed
just
up
had
wearing...
like a Dickie shirt.
He did have it at the end though.
He did.
At the very end.
Because there was no other cops in frame, so I'm sure they just gave him
that.
That was it.
That either that or it was the second day and he remembered it this time.
That reminds me of shooting with you, Johnny, and wearing the cop uniform, but the cop uniform didn't fit around my neck.
Right.
So we had to like figure things out, but that was the only,
your neck.
I know, my damn fat neck. So to continue, there's still a bunch of different characters that like there's a biologist who's called in.
Oh yeah, and then female
animal biologist. She specifies that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not human.
Not human, animal biologist. And then there's a hunter.
He's got a hat.
He's got a hat.
Of course he does.
That's how you know he's a hunter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a crossbow.
Yeah, from like Walmart.
right. A little hand crossbow.
And then there's
the nerd guy.
The nerd guy. It's just another scientist?
He's a cryptozoologist.
He was the study of animals.
Which is to say a fringe, not real scientist.
Right.
Yeah, he like deals with like the legends and different things. Like, you know, Sasquatch is cryptozoology.
Right, made up nonsense.
Yeah.
So like
nonsense.
So they can actually like the FBI doesn't know what's going on, but they can get these people.
Right.
These people and it doesn't
up.
Yeah.
Remember there was like some kind of a dossier that they all had to read. The guy kept saying, Didn't you read it?
Yeah, did you get the memo?
Especially since a lot of people keep disappearing, right? You know, so, like, that's bad. Like, people keep some people die, but some people just disappear.
Yeah, well, I think this had a huge body count. We lost, like, 20 motherfuckers.
It did. I mean, maybe in that part of New York, people just get at all the time and go missing, and it's like, no big deal. If it's not a snow shark, it's, I don't know, leaf goose or something else.
A hungry hippo.
There you go. A hungry, hungry hippo.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's really weird.
Life is cheap in upstate New York. Where the wildlife is always eating the residents.
Right.
Exactly.
This is funny. I would love to shoot a movie like that. Where it's like annoying to live in this one area because there's always some kind of weird, goofy monster killing everybody, eating everybody.
Exactly.
And don't go there.
And nobody's like, let's just leave. Nope. Can't do it.
Well, you always got to figure out a way to keep everybody, you know, as a... in those movies or whatever. And Johnny, like, you're a filmmaker as well, so you know, like, that kind of thing. You know, when you write a film, you have to kind of figure out, does this logistically make sense for
the
characters?
Because you know it's a problem. It's like, you know, in the real life, people have brains and they would just leave. But we can't do that. So
right. Well, the horror like trope that is always like you have to deal with is cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just call somebody?
Right.
So every horror film, no matter how big, no matter how small, has to kind of work the cell phone angle. It's like, well, we don't have a signal, or we all lost our phones, or like,
or somebody takes the phone and smashes it randomly.
They always they always have that like thing they've got to try to figure out.
Or so, I'm thinking what was the big indie movie that came out where they all get Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have the map. They had it. And the guy's like, I kicked that map into the creek.
All right.
You did what?
Why would you do that?
Because if you don't, the movie isn't a movie. You have to get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you have to get lost in the middle of the woods or there's no Blair Witch. And then, so in Snow Shark, they have to deal with the shark in some way or another, and they can't just be like, well, why don't we just move?
Or why don't we just wait for summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, just not be there.
Yeah, while this thing is happening. And
I mean, it didn't seem like the town was doing that well in population and or money.
Except the guy who sells bric-a-brac.
He's like the man
cleaning out.
You are really like obsessed with that.
It was used a lot. It was their set dressing for it. I'm looking at bric-a-brac right now.
I know, it's just everywhere. It's just amazing how much of it's in there. The sets are pretty amazing.
And there were a lot of cow references in the background.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a cow guy, so
absolutely.
You know that stuff. You're the moo cow.
And there was that weird triangle art thing. I don't know what that was. Like pieces
of
glass.
That was like that. It was like a framed thing of triangles.
Oh, and that yellow shag rug. Oh my goodness, that mustard yellow from 1964. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the things that you guys notice. I don't really like pay attention to that stuff when I'm watching the movie. I don't know why. I'm not like looking at the details.
Well, sometimes when things in the foreground are not exciting enough. You look into the background. Plus, when you see a low budget movie or no budget movie, you kind of curious about who made it, where it was made, like what was the atmosphere like, and that interests me more than most of the time the movie does.
Right, right.
So like paying attention to the background and like little details like that is kind of fun to kind of put together the puzzle of like who made this movie, what was it like.
Because you know how it is when you're just starting out or you don't have much of a budget, you shoot and friends and families are your own house.
Sure.
You know?
And some, you know, I've shot many a movie in my house, so I know that. And, and I don't know.
I've slept in your bed.
There you go.
Yes, you have, haven't you?
I have.
I can say that Johnny has slept in my bed.
Which I woke up very early.
Just why, if I ever shot anything in my house that I was doing, I would make absolutely certain to completely rearrange stuff and put in things that I normally would not have.
Right. Well, this house, we're at the D house, this is in countless movies. And we're always trying to, like, move things around and adjust things. And, like, so it's not, but everybody can tell. If you watch enough of the movies, like, you'll see it. It even ended up in Plan 9 pickup shoot. Very briefly. Very briefly.
I was in that, I think.
Yeah, you were here for the pickup.
Yeah, I was here for the pickup. So, yeah, I get to play a zombie and play at night. But anyway, that's the thing. When you look at a house like this, you're like, you know, that's really, you know, you don't see some of this stuff, you know, that's actually normally here because people move stuff around make it sound like, look like the house that they would imagine that this person would live in.
Well, there was a lot of bric-a-brac in this particular film.
I thought there was more brac than brick, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it plays a part in sort of creating the setting that the movie's taking place in, which is good because otherwise it's just that little patch of woods. So it's kind of good that
they had a couple sequences with like a lot of extras. There was the courthouse scene,
right? The courthouse scene,
and then there was the bar that was like a plywood bar.
My goodness, that was amazing. particle board bar.
Yeah.
It would look like somebody's basement, right?
Yeah,
like,
it was somebody's pet project of building a bar in their own house. But they hadn't finished it yet. But they got to shoot the movie there, which gave it atmosphere, because it just seemed like the town was put together with bubblegum. And, like, that's why the shark could just destroy everything.
Wow.
Because that's all they had was, like, you know, plastic spoons.
It would have been a better town if the snow shark wasn't eating everybody.
Right.
Well,
yeah, they ate the guy who was fixing the bar.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And really, this should have been like Snow Piranha, because let's face it, this shark was eating. I mean, it's just, you know, it wasn't just content eating one full entire person. He would just go to the next, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. Just keep
true.
He was like a Pac-Man going wild.
Well, unless it was more than one.
That's true. That's true.
They never really said. But
well,
like,
you never see more than one ever, except
at the end.
At the end,
right? The stinger.
But
yeah.
I mean, it could be the scream mentality, where like you think you're looking at one, but you're actually seeing two.
Right.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, you don't know, like, and that's never, that's never fully established throughout the movie. Even at the end, you know, there's no say of like, oh man, so that one that murdered, you know, because no snow shark could talk. You know, and say,
well,
I was the one who killed that one, but my brother was the one who killed that one.
It had like an alligator hiss and
a
bear growl.
Yeah.
But getting back to the Shark Week thing, you know how they're always talking about how they're tagging sharks and following them around. If the scientist guy had done that and he had tagged the shark, and this way you could keep track of them, and you know that this particular shark was responsible for this, or that particular shark haunts a particular patch of the woods or whatever.
Yeah, because in Tremors they had the one that had one of the tentacles ripped off, and then you knew that was the one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or Jaws. You look at Jaws at the end of Jaws when they like tacked the barrels on the thing, so you could follow it around.
Right.
You knew when it was coming,
but
and that would have been interesting.
Honestly, this is a little bit more than either what the filmmakers were thinking about, or really what the audience is thinking about. They're here to see people get et by a shark. I mean, that's what this is for. That's the whole purpose of this film.
Porpoise?
The whole purpose.
The whole porpoise.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I agree. Did that on porpoise.
I caught that. But yeah, no, it was... that's the thing. Like, when you look at a movie like Snow Shark, that's all you're thinking about is, you know, there's a shark in the snow, and it's going to eat people.
Right, right.
That's it. Like,
that's what I was hoping for.
I know.
And that's
what
we got.
It didn't let you down on that.
It did
know?
Not.
But, you know, in the meantime, also, there's a bunch of actors who are out there just doing their best and, you know, trying to make this, you know, as normal of a movie as they can, with it being a movie about a snow shark.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, with delivery and character development. I mean, some of that, I could have lived without, honestly. Like, the sheriff loses his son in the movie, and the sheriff, like, he just never got to know any of the characters enough to really, like, care.
Right.
You know?
They're pretty one-dimensional.
Whether or not it was the sheriff, never even still got to know him. So whenever people are being nice and asking questions or whatever, and he's, like, frustrated about it, you just never got to, like, you know, get to know him, because there's so many different characters in the movie that you followed.
Although
you know?
I did notice the director kind of gave himself the more developed character, you know.
I would never do that.
He you know, like the one part where he's like, damn you, snow shark, take me instead.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the big dramatic
He was
moment.
Cutting his teeth on the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
He was. And you know, he had... And I guess we can say it, because we've already kind of spoiled a lot of it anyway. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen Snow Shark, then
what are you doing with your life?
I know.
We always spoil it. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You have to.
You have to. If you're going to talk for like an hour about a movie, you got to spoil it.
And we've justified this by saying, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's a whole different kettle of fish to actually see it.
Yeah. So there's that scene at the end where he blows up the Snow Shark.
With a grenade.
Yep.
Smile,
after
son of a bitch.
After getting eaten,
yeah,
pretty
I can't
much.
Remember what the line was, but he did get a son of a bitch in there.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, did.
I don't think he said smile, but he...
No, he's like, grin, you smiling bitch.
Something like that. But, you know, he got to get his son of a bitch moment. And that was... that. I think that may be one of the problems I have with the movie, which, I mean, isn't really a big problem, but it's like... if you're gonna model this after like Jaws or something, you know, you don't put two quits. You know, you don't have, you know, you don't have
three because you had the hunter.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had the director, and then the eye patch.
Right.
Professor.
Right. Right.
Who comes back?
Ahab.
That's right. He was Ahab.
He was Ahab.
So yeah, you have all of these guys who are basically the same kind of character, and the problem is like he gets that Brody moment where he blows up the shark, but he wasn't Brody. He was Quint.
Right.
You know, he was like this grizzled hunter. We even talked about that while we were watching it with the in the courtroom scene. You know, that was the scene. You know, that was.
You all know me.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of these guys, their sole purpose when they're in the movie is to get at. I mean, that's what they're shark kibble. It's just like the girls in the hot tub. They're shark kibble.
They're just putting on seasoning.
Right. The teenagers with the beer, they're shark kibble.
I mean, there is nudity in the movie.
Yes,
there is.
Yes, there is. It's the
first time I'd ever seen nudity.
There's naked
ever?
Naked snow sharks.
I don't even look at myself.
Oh. Well,
naked
there you
snow
go.
Sharks everywhere. Not one of them had clothing on.
Yes. Shark boobies.
That sounds like a Lloyd Kaufman joint.
Yes.
Yes, he would probably buy that for real.
Shark
you know?
Boobies. Just they put sharks in her silicone boobs and
right.
they pop out.
Kind of like
awesome.
Dick Shark.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh, that's a thing. We have to show you Dick Shark.
Oh,
yeah.
Do we have to?
Bills Above. Bills Above. I've got a bunch of Bills Above movies.
Dick Shark.
Yes. Starring.
With Aaron Brown.
Yeah, Misty Monday is in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway. And that kind of goes back with Camp Motion Pictures, who I believe they used to, you know, they. I don't know if they did Seduction Cinema as well, but they, the company that put this out.
It was EI,
you know,
right?
What?
Wasn't it called EI?
Maybe.
That they put out.
Seduction Cinema?
Yeah.
I think so. But I think they own a bunch of these different things. And I think Camp Motion Pictures.
Screamorama was part of them as well.
Yeah.
Chakarama, that was
Chakarama. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe.
And Brett Piper, who is one of the guys involved in this film, is one of the guys who is a director and producer and works for Chakarama. So, yeah, there's that whole connection going on.
There's a lot of that connection going on, which is kind of cool. Like, you know, these guys, you know, are putting this stuff out and
right.
And making this goofy little snow shark movie. And, I mean, look, if anything, I could say that this was very cool because it was a chance for somebody to go out there and do this. This is the first
sure.
one.
Sure.
I mean, who knows if anybody would have had the idea ever to put a snow shark in the snow. Maybe they would have later on.
I mean, would there have been a Sharkula or a Sharkenstein or a Raiders of the Lost Shark if there hadn't been Snow Shark?
I did just look it up. It is EI that ran Seduction Cinema that are now called Alternative Cinema.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
And I remember EI sounded familiar.
EI.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And by the way, I made that one up, Sharkula. I really hope there's a movie called Sharkula.
I got excited when you said that.
I know. Tell me about it.
I was like,
Shark Vampire.
Sharkula. We must make this happen, guys.
Sharkula.
Now, I did just pick up, what is it called? Something Something Commando Shark.
I think it was from the same group. I mean,
yeah.
Who did it? The same group of people, because I think they've been wanting to do another shark movie since Snow Shark. So
I
think
know.
It's the same company did
Post-Apocalyptic Commando Shark. I just
Commando
bought it.
Shark.
God, because that's how they roll.
How many of these movies there are?
John
Johnson's got to do a shark movie.
Dude, you could
at
do
some
an
point.
Entire podcast on nothing but shark movies.
Sure.
He wanted to do one like that.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm sure you could. I mean, there's so many.
That and Abominable Snowman movie.
Because on our staycay with my buddy Royce, we watch a lot of movies.
Abominable Snow Shark.
He at one point said, "You know, we could add a lot of shark movies." And I was like, "No."
You've got a boat.
Well, hey,
oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Angry Video Game Nerd actually did rank this. I believe this was number 3 on his worst shark movies.
He did a
50 top 50.
He did 50 of them. Oh
yeah,
my God.
So he talked about 50 of them.
And this made number 3.
I believe so. I know it was It was on there, and I believe it was really,
really
low.
Which makes you want to watch
it. It was really low. Yeah, you could watch
James,
it.
If you're listening, why?
He watched
you watch
it.
50 shark movies.
Wow,
he,
that deserves
not
a round
only that, he has them all. He owns them all.
Wow.
You know?
Of course,
good
does.
For him.
Of course he does.
And he had a whole pile of them on the floor when he was showing off all the movies.
It is intriguing. Like earlier, when I was just realizing this whole subgenre of these shark movies, because they're not made to be good. Like they're just, you know, it's a weird phenomenon.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe I should make one.
I'm telling you.
I would love to be in it,
shark.
Even if I'm just a guy who gets killed by a shark.
They seem
so
easy. it's like you don't even have to really try.
Right.
Because everybody is forgiving because they
because you have a shark.
Yeah.
You know, at all. Like, period. Like, if you have a shark at all in your movie, people are like, I'll watch that.
That'd be hard. Like, because either you go really, really CG or, like, do I get Mariah to make, like, a good-looking shark thing?
But yeah, you could do both. You could have both.
I mean,
let's face it. This movie had the CGI shark. It had the fin on the board. But it also had a puppet. It had a couple of puppet shots,
which
as well.
Is my favorite. I like that a lot.
Oh, you know,
like the hand
puppet
or like there
well,
was
they did
a
one
big
from inside
puppet.
Of its mouth,
right?
Like,
it was Shark
Dust Till Dawn 2, I think, was where they saw the vampire bite from inside the vampire's mouth. It reminded me of that.
Oh wow!
Yeah, Shark Cam.
Shark Cam, like, or what? Kind of reminded me of a Little Shop of Horrors with the mouth.
Oh yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always a Shark Week out there, and people get really happy and excited about sharks.
Yeah, and so they'll watch anything shark-related.
And let's face it, what is the number one little kitty song that's out there?
Oh, God.
It's dominated the universe.
Yeah, baby shark.
There you go. They're everywhere.
That's true.
Shark, you know, and that's the thing. Like, if you can make this, they made Land Shark.
Sharknado, come on. How many
Sharknadoes
were there?
Sharknado was to parody the parody, right? Like, that was the idea.
Originally, but then it became its own little
parody.
Like, kind of just kept going.
Cult franchise.
Yeah, and then they just were like, the last one we're done, you know, and I don't know why they quit because, I mean, it's not like they.
How many movies did they make?
Six?
Wow. Yeah. I think they were just like, you know, honestly, they're just done, I guess, you know, with that kind of stuff. But
poor sci-fi.
You know, but sci-fi still is going to put stuff out for Shark Week, I'm pretty sure.
I wanted to pitch them a movie about Zomnado.
Zomnado, oh boy.
Tornado, you know, goes
full
touchdown in Haiti, picks up a bunch of zombies.
Oh, that was kind of zombies.
And then drops them down into Miami.
Nice.
Well, there's also Clownado.
That's right.
But it has nothing to do, apparently, with actual,
Hot
like...
Sheets, baby.
It was like clowns controlling tornadoes or something. I don't know. It was...
As they do.
Right. So, I mean, it's just... It's like, it's a silly, like, you know, thing. You can make movies.
Right.
You know, and
you
there's distribution. You know,
right.
For them.
So you got sharks, you got clowns, you've got, you know, all sorts of different, you know, strong themes out there for independent film, which is, you know, anybody can jump in there and make one. It's great. It's fertile, you know, ground.
Yeah.
To plow.
Yeah.
Go
it
plow, my friends.
Like
go plow.
It seems like I should do something.
Yes.
Yes, we highly recommend it.
You know, you've been dying to play a Quint character in a movie.
A Quint? No, that'd be Royce.
Yeah, Royce would definitely. I would think you'd be Brody
for sure.
Brody,
yeah.
Okay.
Or the guy who just gets it at the beginning. I'll be the mayor.
Yeah. Dude, you'd be the mayor of Nilbog.
Nilbog.
Yes.
We'll have to get you
Coastal Nilbog.
We'll have to get you the mug, just like in this film. Says the world's greatest mayor.
No, the second world's greatest mayor.
You'd
have
to be.
He obviously had that title.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He got that. He got the world's greatest mayor, which I love that. Like I seriously,
no, it's funny.
I think it's great. And you know, throughout the whole movie, I think we sat around and I think we just like you have to put your put everything down and just enjoy it for what it is because when you come to a movie like this, you're not expecting it to be something that like blows you away. You know what I mean? Like
so. What do you think about the acting?
I think that some of the actors were really fun. And then some of the actors...
There was a guy in the courtroom who was, like, arguing about a
Oh, yeah.
He actually was pretty good. Like, he was, like...
He was almost like an extra that was given a few lines.
Yeah, and he was great.
Yeah, he was good.
He was arguing about, like, vigilante justice. And,
yeah,
and then, yeah, he did really well. I think there's a few... Yeah, there's a few characters that... I mean, I kind of liked the sheriff. I thought the sheriff did...
What I would argue for this was almost a bigger influence than Jaws itself is Silver Bullet.
Ooh.
I saw a lot of Silver Bullet.
There you go. Okay.
Like the vigilante group, the hunters.
Right.
Yeah, so instead of being a werewolf, it's
I saw a lot of that.
Shark it's wolf. A shark. Shark wolf. If it bites you, you turn into a snow
shark.
You
turn into a shark yourself.
A were shark.
A were shark. You just drown immediately.
That would be a fun movie, actually.
Yeah, and they all kind of ranged, I thought. I thought the director guy, he was actually pretty good, although he kind of gave himself a better role.
I would never do that.
Which happens.
Yeah.
Well,
he also overacted a bit.
A couple times.
Lord Johnny. We know you.
But
yeah.
Like Quint number one, the scientist guy with the eye patch.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was pretty good.
The professor,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Michael O'Hare. He's kind of a New York, Buffalo, New York. I think that's where this was actually filmed.
He had some larger chunks of dialogue than some of the other ones did. And, I thought he did pretty good. And some of the girls were pretty good. I wasn't wild about the zoologist guy. I thought his delivery was pretty much the same every single time.
Yeah, he had a great look, but...
Yeah.
Are you talking about the guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cryptozoologist guy.
Right.
Yeah, there's sometimes I was just like, you know, he's like kind of a cliche character, and I think that's kind of how he played it. So I think if he had, kind of worked it a little bit differently, I think...
Mm-hmm.
And he's always bickering with the guys.
Lots bickering with the bick.
Gotta fill in the gaps there, and then it's some bickering.
Yeah, so they did that a lot in the movie,
I gotta say, I thought Jackie's role was gonna be a little bit bigger.
I was surprised at that too, but I guess she only had a couple days to shoot, like, her scenes, and they were also shooting other scenes
and
around.
And she was kind of like the wife of the one guy who gets killed, the guy in the Santa suit.
Which they didn't really, like, because a lot of that times, like I said, there's a lot of characters in it, and you never got a chance to, like, know who these people are.
Right.
So when that guy just gets killed, you know, you don't know if he's, like, a big deal in the town,
or they need
to
make a prequel called Flurry Shark.
There you go.
Flurry Shark.
When the flurries first come, and that's when we get to know all the characters.
Nice.
Exactly. There's
and then when we watch this, we realize how sad it is that we're losing all these people. Not Bobby Joe.
That's right.
See, there you go. I would watch
Flurry. Bobby.
Jackie, I guess, gets to be sort of the angry, bitter wife who lost her husband, and gets very accusatory towards the one deputy guy. And
yes.
Drama. Well, if you
wasn't the deputy, that was the director, right?
No.
He was the guy that did
The other guy. The one who didn't earn his shirt.
Right. And for his punishment, he gets to take a lot of shit from Jackie's character, and he's just like, well, thanks, sorry, ma'am.
Well, she yelled at the director, too, right, at the bar.
Yeah, she yelled at him at the bar, too.
She just yells at people.
Yes.
She yells at a lot of people in this movie.
Wow, her man got munched.
I know, but then they kind of have this bonding moment together, Jackie's character.
There was a number of bonding moments in this film.
There was, like, the eye patch man and the director, they have that drinking, and he puts a blanket on him, like, just sleep in this chair.
Oh my god, I thought they were going to start making out, I swear to goodness.
I love you.
That was hilarious, because, like, you're right, there's the bonding moments in the film, but most of it doesn't have him, you know, have the director, Sam Qualiana.
It's
really funny.
The two remaining Quints, you know, kind of, like, getting together.
Yeah.
And the sexual tension between the hunter and the scientist.
Yes, the animal.
Little Jurassic World moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is before Jurassic World.
So. This was before. Yeah. Maybe Jurassic World still.
Ripped them off big time.
Oh,
they were watching Snow Shark, and they're like, that's a great idea. Let's go.
I needed some whack material. Snow Shark.
And let's get the chick with the tattoos who wanders around and outside in the snow with no clothes on.
With Snoopy.
Get her. It was Snoopy tattooed
on her Snoopy
back.
On the back. On her spine.
Yes, that must have been cold. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was cold and...
Unless they shot that in the summer.
There you go.
You didn't see
CGI
any snow.
Snow.
Didn't see much snow.
Yeah, there had to be oodles of it, or else the snow shark would not be there. Be
oodles of noodles shark.
Mud shark.
Now, I do want to mention, though, there was a little bit of continuity.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff, but the biggest problem I saw, I don't know if you guys, I think I talked about this when we were all watching the movie, but there was, she says, like, it's the next day, and there was no transition to next day.
Right.
And it wasn't the next day. It was
right.
still technically the same day.
Right.
So it was just like, it was very confusing for me.
Right.
Because I was just like, wait, she said, my husband just died yesterday. And it wasn't like, there hadn't been a day between it.
Right,
so I was
right.
just like, because they had all said, oh, you know, we've been waiting this long, you know, for today to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a next day. So I feel like there was just a little bit of continuity there.
Well, that's not the only place. The biggest one for me was the bar scene when, you know, the director guy goes in there and he's talking to Jackie and it's a twofer shot. So you're going back and forth and half the time he's got this fake snow on his collar and shoulder. The other half it's completely clean and then it goes back and forth and back and forth and
yep.
back and forth.
You noticed that and it drove me crazy because I wasn't noticing
I
that.
I you know, once I see things like that, I can't unsee it. So
right.
it just pops out like a halo, you know.
Exactly.
That and the brickbrack just stood out so much.
That was old school brickbrack.
Oh,
like,
my
it was
goodness.
Cool.
You know, it's just, you know how we kind of got on.
There you go.
Got on those guys for in Fungicide for the old house that they were shooting in.
Right.
That yellow shag rug just was like sore thumb. It just
it stuck out like yeah.
Absolutely. It's just
definitely
wow.
And like I told you, I don't notice that stuff. I don't know why. I just even if it's boring, I just don't pay attention to the background much.
Right.
So it's just my kind of thing. But
yeah.
Other people are a little bit more you know, I guess observant.
That's
what we're watching.
That's
yeah.
one of the things that you have to deal with when you deal with lower budget films. That they generally don't have the money to spend on a guy who's continuity guy, whose whole purpose is to sit there and make sure that everything is put back where it's supposed to be. And
right.
Everything is you know continuous.
A script supervisor.
Right. Right.
A script supervisor.
So you do what you can with what you got.
You don't want to be like Game of Thrones and have a cup. Coffee cup.
Which is gone.
Gone.
Which is gone.
No,
I
never saw
it. It's amazing that we're in the now in the day and age where the mistake like that releases and they're like, okay, we just fixed it and re-uploaded it and now it doesn't exist anymore.
I know. I never got to see it.
Well, you're online. You can see pictures, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they would show videos or not of it.
They did. It's the internet.
Yeah. they have the power to do that.
They have the power to do that.
Well, if they have the power to do that, then they have the power to go back in the first couple seasons and remove Joffrey Baratheon and change him with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
They could do that.
Why? I mean, they could do that. I don't know.
He's got a bit of rings coming out of his ass?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they've been talking about changing, I guess, Sonic the Hedgehog, too, or whatever, like that.
Oh, God,
whole, like,
yeah.
That appalling looking picture. Which brings me back to...
teeth or whatever.
Indie Film Cafe, we did Gamebox 1.0 and Hey Stop Stabbing Me, which were written by the guys who did Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So
there you go.
What was the second movie you said?
Hey Stop Stabbing Me.
That's on my list.
Yeah,
oh,
that's good.
I think
you
I told you about
out.
It before or something.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's funny.
You'll it was one of our good movies that we, you know,
you'll like
about.
The Woozle.
Yes.
The
you'll,
Woozle?
Oh, you'll see it. You'll see.
Okay.
You'll love it all.
That's
hopefully,
that's
hopefully Alexa picks it for
guard
you.
Your socks with your life. That's all I'm saying.
You'll see it when you see
okay.
it. You'll know what he's talking about. All right. I guess it's getting toward that point. Was there anything that we wanted to like mention that we forgot to mention before
I am
we
fully
get
erect.
Outstanding.
Well, I'm talking about the movie though.
Oh.
Was there anything in the movie that we forgot? Your erection is a different thing.
Well, is it?
That's what she
I
said.
Don't know.
No, I mean, we gave it. Well, you guys have a rating for it, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to do that in a sec, but we're just kind of like, yeah,
we wrap that up with that.
Yeah, okay. We're trying to kind of, you know, conclude this. Like, was there something that?
There was snow.
There was snow. There was a shark.
There was a shark. There was Jackie Hall.
There was Jackie Hall.
And a cul-de-sac.
Yes.
And lots of people got eaten.
A lot of people got eaten.
Pretty quickly, too. I mean, they got slurped.
They got eaten badly.
And usually somebody off camera is kind of throwing some dirt or some blood.
CG blood or the the spray in them.
Speaking of which, special effects, what did you guys think of the special effects?
Very special.
I'll give it to them for the inside the mouth stuff. I think that was done really, really well.
That was clever.
And the rest of it, harder to sell. But like the inside the mouth stuff, I mean, it kind of worked.
Right. Now, it's clearly, anyone with common sense is going to tell, it's absurd to think that a large shark, is going to swim, much less exist, in 2 inches of snow. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, if you can get past that, the rest of the movie's cake, I guess.
Yes.
But, you know, cake. It's just the rest of the CGI stuff is pretty much
right.
What you would expect.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, they did go out, like we talked about earlier, they did go out and actually make some sharks, you know, and different things. So,
nice.
Like, they tried to, you know, do it, you know, to make it look like there was a shark, you know, attacking people.
And by the way, I think one of the minor characters was named Bruce, just like
yes.
Bruce the shark in Jaws.
Mm.
So there's a little reference, there's a lot of references to it.
It all comes back around.
Exactly. Well, speaking of which, we're going to, conclude it with our rating. So
stinkometer.
Yeah, so talk about the stinkometer,
all
sir.
Right, so for those of you who are familiar with our show and for the benefit of those of you who are not, we have our stinkometer in which we rate the film based on a 1 to 10 scale with halfway steps in between if you feel the need to be so subtle. By which 10 is the highest number you can give, is the stinkiest. Think of it, I guess, as stink points. And 1 being sort of the not so stinky and actually fairly good. And then 5 being sort of in between. So generally that's what we do. We count up the score, we count up the average, and then we figure out how stinky it's going to be. So we had an overall stink champion in season 1. And we'll be counting up the scores.
Tell them which one
here.
Was our stinky.
Fateful Findings. The only movie that got 10s across the board last year. Neil Breen, so far, is the champion.
Gosh.
Top of the heap. He's the king.
I have
moment.
To beat that with my Snow Shark movie. Or not Snow Shark, my CG Shark movie.
Yes.
There you go. So with that in mind, I guess we should rate our
mm-hmm.
movie.
So we always let our guests go first.
Oh no. well, I've seen worse, but not many. I would say an 8.
Very nice. That's very close to what I was giving it. I was going to give it a 7.5.
I was actually going to go with 8.5.
Wow, okay.
You know, it's a pretty stinky
film,
but it's not, like, even an 8.5 is pretty, you know, it's pretty high up there or whatever.
It is.
But it's not... It's all out of love, you know.
You're not angry at it.
No.
Like that, I think a 10 to me would be a movie that like just makes me angry. Like,
no.
It's insulting. This isn't that. This
10, is... 10 to us is like we love it.
Yeah, it all kind of depends. It's not a very scientific way of looking at it.
Gotcha.
You know, you kind of rate it based on gut feelings. I mean,
oh, okay.
You know, for this, the movie is very self-aware. And
yeah.
that helps a lot. If this was
sure.
a movie like, say, what's the one with the birds?
Birdemic.
Birdemic, where the guy really thought he was making this great movie.
Right.
I'd be a lot more harsher with this because, really, dude, you were not making a great movie. You were making a piece of crap and you just didn't care. This, I did not pick up from this at all. I think they knew what it is that they were doing and they knew it was going to come off the way that it did. And, because of that, I couldn't get too harsh on it, even though there's a lot of stinky stuff on there. But a 7.5 is still pretty stinky.
I know. Well, yeah, no, I agree. I think that the movie has has camp to it.
Yeah. Oh, very much. Yeah.
It knows it's it's kind of like Troma. You know, when you look at Troma in a way, like, it knows the movies aren't the greatest movie of all time. However, they take it seriously, as if like for them, it's as if a shark is actually in the snow killing them. Like, normally people would be like, what the hell, you know? Like, why is there a shark in the snow out there, right? You know? Or whatever. Like, they'd be asking all these questions and calling the FBI, doing all these things. They're treating this like this is like a normal Saturday, right, for them, you know? And
it just might well be.
Yeah. So, up in Buffalo, where they're living.
There you go.
But yeah, no, see, that's the thing. So, I love that we gave it... I think it's really funny that you gave it an 8, Johnny. You gave it a 7.5, and I gave it 8.5. So it's kind of goes down a little bit, or up is the way that you see it. Yeah. You know, depending on how you
same,
view it.
Basically, bullseye.
We're in that same area.
So it didn't hit you in that anger stage like Actium Maximus did.
Oh God, don't talk about that movie. That's one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life. Couldn't hear half the crap. I mean, it's one of the ones we discussed in this.
It's wonderful.
Oh my goodness.
Gotcha.
It was a Troma movie.
Filthy
too.
Puppet movie.
No, it was hard.
Troma original or Troma bot?
Troma bot.
Troma bot, and released as I'm sure as a joke.
Sure. Well, no, I think they released it because they buy everything. You know, so there you go. Not to say Troma's a bad company. Just saying, like, they're very they have a huge library of films.
They do.
And everything. So, not to disparage them, but
they didn't release Snow Shark though.
They didn't release Snow Shark, and I was, you know, I don't know, this company that did. I think they just liked the title, you know, right, and was happy to have.
It's an easy sell. Come on, you hear the title Snow Shark,
and you put boobies in it. It's there.
Boobies
you go.
Boobies are nice.
Yes.
Boobies are nice. We like them.
Well, thank you so much, John, for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and allowing us to be in your house and everything. What have you been up to lately?
Well, I have this erection.
Okay.
True.
But before that, I've been working on a few movies. The Dark Net comes out Labor Day weekend.
Yay.
Midnight. Is that online or on?
It'll be, I don't know where it'll release VOD, but the physical copies are released on Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
After that, VOD could be it'll be maybe a month or two after.
Will it be on like Walmart or something?
No. We're self-distributing, so it'll be off of our site and conventions and on the web.
Cool.
And Amazon.
Awesome.
Nice.
Then Midnight Monsters, my first anthology, releases Halloween.
Yay.
On Amazon.
On Amazon. That'll be on VOD that day. It will have physical copies on the same day as well, but it will be on VOD on Halloween. And then, what was the other one? Manos.
Yay!
The teaser trailer releases on Halloween as well.
Oh, very cool. So that's awesome. Well, thank you.
So that's the remaking of Manos, the Hands of
Fate. Remaking of Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Because you asked for it, public out there.
This
yes,
is true.
You did.
This is what the public wanted.
Yeah.
They demanded.
They demanded, you know.
And what about the one that you showed us at the party, the...
Rifters?
Rifters.
Rifters is in the CG. Actually, since you've seen it, it has 20 new effects that have been added to it.
Nice.
He's been busy.
I would guess that sometime next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
That was, I remember, like, because you showed me some of it before.
Like,
I mean,
when it was Trancers.
When it was Trancers,
right,
and everything. And I really enjoyed that. Like, it was set up like a pilot for a TV series.
Yeah,
and
now it's a movie.
Yeah. And that's a very smart way to go about it, because if you can't make it into a pilot for a TV series, make it into a freaking movie.
Yeah, just shoot an extra half an hour and you got a feature.
Yeah, exactly.
Bada bing.
Cruel Intentions 2 did that. Yes. Originally, that was a... was
Crueler
it?
Intentions.
Yeah, Crueler Intentions. But no, they were making a TV show.
You could mash that up with Ginger Dead Man and be Crueler Intentions.
Oh.
Don't it?
No. Don't do that.
Oh, come on.
Trust me, this is our, you know, thing. We, you know, like, constantly he'll come up with, like, these stupid jokes, and I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're not gonna do that. I shut his ass down a lot because he's got a lot of fun ideas. But
my wife does that for me.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
I have an idea for this. It's a terrible idea. All right, I don't have an idea for this.
Wait till she hears about the shark idea.
I'm gonna make the movie. I'm just gonna call it CG Shark.
There you go.
And I looked it up on IMDb, and there's no movie called CG Shark.
Sweet.
Uh oh. Better be careful. You better copyright that shit right now.
Can't copyright a title.
Yeah, it's true.
So they can, there'll be multiple movies called CG Shark.
Maybe, but
if somebody's got the dumb idea that I have.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a straight up CG shark eating people.
Was it Tommy Wiseau was doing one?
Right.
Yeah, did one, actually. There's a shark movie that Tommy Wiseau, the guy who did The Room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he directed a, what was it called? It's called something, something, I mean, there was something shark.
I forget what it is.
No, it's literally
he's
like,
doing a shark film.
He's doing a shark film that is, just knows it's a shark film.
I'm
just,
excited over that.
Yeah,
oh,
it
yeah.
sounds awesome. So, but yeah, that's just, you know, it's like called Great Shark Film or something, you know, something
Great
like
shark.
That. Where it knows it's a film, like
right.
a shark thing.
We'll see what Tommy does.
Yes, exactly. But,
well, hopefully he'll spend a little money and he's not going to be cheap, 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 cheap.
Oh, nice.
Well, no, he wasn't cheap, cheap on that thing. That movie, the
million,
Room,
right?
cost, yeah, $6 million.
Just don't ask where it came from.
And he made his money back.
Or just don't ask where it went, because
yeah.
it didn't go into the production of that freaking movie.
Like, that's that. the most amazing thing is that he doubled his budget on, like, a terrible movie.
Right.
So you got to give it to the guy.
He made 12,
on
12
film
million?
And digital.
$12 million on the movie itself, but then, of course, they did that...
Disaster
I'm sure he got a check for that as well.
That's
yeah.
good.
So
that's
there
good.
You go. You know, just from a bad movie, you know, and everything. So
it,
can
so
be
bad,
done.
It was good.
It was so bad it was good. It's actually one of those movies I can actually watch.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdly,
oh, I enjoy
you know,
the fuck out of that movie.
Yeah.
It's
I can
fun.
Actually watch the movie even though it's bad, you know. And
I've had enough of seeing Tommy Wiseau's butt.
Well, you can fast forward through that scene. You know, or whatever. But anyway.
These are
but
customers.
Anyway.
sorry.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. Thank you, Johnny. This is a lot
Thanks
of fun.
Thanks for coming to my house.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
This is the easiest way for me to do a podcast. I just wake up, come upstairs, order some food, and talk to some friends and watch a eight movie.
All right. So you're willing to do it again?
Sure.
Woohoo.
We'll definitely have you back. I'm not sure when or I'm not sure what movie we'll...
I got something already planned.
Yeah, because I picked it this time. Now Paul's got to pick the next
so
one.
So actually what we should do is the next time we do one, I get to pick the movie.
Oh.
And then introduce you guys to a movie that's bad that I know of.
Okay.
I don't know if you can introduce us to something.
That might be hard. That
yeah.
might be hard. You guys have seen... You know your stuff.
Yeah. At least he does.
But I also have made a lot of bad movies that
Ooh.
I haven't shown people.
Nice.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That
yeah.
would be fun.
Even if we didn't do, like, even if we did a podcast just on that.
Oh,
be...
yeah, we could tear it apart.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is on the, if you ever get the DVD of Deceptors, Mr. Lobo does a second commentary of the entire film just tearing it apart.
Nice.
It's my favorite thing.
I gotta get a copy of Deceptors. I don't know how.
The eBay, probably. For like
eBay.
A buck.
Oh, really?
Is it
wow.
not on Amazon anymore?
No. I got the rights back to all of the old Golden Age films, and we're re-releasing them.
Oh.
So, Alucard is getting the re-release right now, and then we're going in order. So, then it'll be Shadowhunters, and then Skeleton Key, and then...
Blu-ray?
Yes, Blu-ray.
Sweet.
I don't think we're doing DVD. I think we're doing VOD and Blu-ray.
Okay. Oh, wow. Really? Very cool.
For all the re-releases. And Deceptors is on that line. But you can get... The old version of Deceptors on eBay for no money. With the exception of Skeleton Key 2. Skeleton Key 2, for some reason, fell into a rare DVD collector's thing. So copies of that are going for $600.
Holy smokes.
On wow. Amazon and eBay. But Skeleton Key 1 and 3, $2. But for some reason, Skeleton Key 2
wow.
Fell into this weird rare collector's thing. And so... It's crazy, like...
You can't even get that yourself?
No.
That's funny.
I have the master, but I don't have a DVD of it anymore.
The master does approve.
No.
to bring it back. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's very cool. Awesome, Johnny. Thank you. Thank you for letting the world know about that because, you know, now where can people find you?
Usually Chuck E. Cheese, under the table.
Outstanding.
Under the table. What's your website?
Darkstone-ent.com.
Okay, so if
or if you just Google Darkstone Entertainment, you'll find
it. There you go.
Yeah, and you've got like a Facebooks for it, like Darkstone Facebook,
yes,
right?
Yes, Facebook, social media. I'm DFlix on TikTok. I've Twitter, Johnny D Stone, PlayStation, Johnny D Stone, Instagram, Johnny D Stone. But yeah, you can find me at anywhere.
You general. Guys are TikToking like mad too.
15,100 fans as of this morning.
Jeez, holy cow.
We're doing okay.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does that help? Is that helping with your...
Yes, it's introducing a lot of new people to Darkstone and all the other films and Amazon. And like, they're all, it's a really nice way to bridge to new fans can like see our little shorts and then they can come watch the movies if they want to.
If they want to. Have that, has that happened? Like, have people said, hey, I watched your movie after TikTok?
Very much.
That is awesome, man. Nice. That's great.
We had 9 people watch us. We were shooting yesterday, and I went live on TikTok from set.
Oh, you can go live?
You can.
Oh, wow.
And I was live for 4 hours, 5 hours, and we had about 10 people watching consistently.
Nice. Oh, wow.
There was about 300 total, but 10 people consistent.
That's very cool.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of use social media to for your benefit.
And it's cool because it brings in fans and they can sort of feel like they're part of the whole thing. They get to see the process.
We started a hashtag on there called the D Kingdom. So anybody who feels they're a fan of Darkstone or DFlix can use the hashtag and it goes on a page where all the D people are together.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Outstanding.
Well.
You've got your own minions.
Yeah.
You have your own little minions. That's awesome. That's great. So keep it up, man.
Congrats.
Okay, you can find Indie Film Cafe on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Indie Film Cafe. You can also find our website at indiefilmcafe.reviews. And you can find, you can find us on Patreon.
That's right.
Where you can donate a dollar to us and help us... for me to be able to afford to come over and see you guys.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And everything. So, thank you guys so much for checking this out. And thank you, Johnny.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes.
Outstanding. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, great time. So, thank you guys. Have a good one.
Bye.